don't have a partner. Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn. Long as I live.
Know where you're going, but don't know how to get there? You found the rabbit hole, Alice. From free bars to apartment hunting and sending out your demo, he's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
All right. Thank you for joining me for my fourth podcast for the Starving Artist Guide. Today it's going to be a comedy special because I love comedy. It's kind of in my bones. I've done improv a couple times. And my friends, Matt Chipman, will be joining me later in the podcast to tell you, the starving comedian out there in New York City, how to try to get gigs. And basically just, he will expedite your rise to fame. Also, I'm going to do a slight essay on, it's not too long, it's an essay I did on censorship, because a lot of comedy deals with censorship, and just how it affects comedy, music, everything. And it's even, I mean, it even goes into self-censorship. So that will be after the interview. And right now I'm going to just go into a little article I read in the Metro, which is the paper that I read during the day. First off, there's a little funny statistic, because I kind of made fun of television yesterday, or on the last podcast. And it says, the odds of a person in the U.S. sustaining a non-fatal injury from interacting with a television are 1 in 5,613. And that's hilarious, I think. Because people, I feel like people are getting such giant televisions these days that I can just see, like, some old grandma getting trapped under a television. It's not funny, but it's true. And we just don't need it. We don't need the giant televisions. You know, I have a 19-inch television that I found on the corner of my street. Works perfectly fine. Probably made in 2003, 2004. But as soon as people see the next big TV commercial or whatever, Sony commercial, they got to run out to Best Buy and get a 50-inch TV. And then I was mentioning programming. And as soon as HD came out, everyone felt this compulsion, as if it was programmed into them that they needed HD TV. Which, personally, I don't see the difference. It's just pixels. It's not really that different. Same with Blu-ray DVDs. It's not that different. I mean, for what it's worth, unless you have a stadium seating room with a giant projection screen, why do you need HDTV? So anyways, I did find my television, and I'm going to go into that. And that kind of goes into this article. If I can just find it. Illegal logging. We're guilty. Deforestation is so widespread, most people unwittingly buy into it. Your desk may well be made of illegally harvested wood. Your bed, too. But you might never know. We consumers unwittingly contribute to the destruction of forests around the world, says Alexander von Bismarck, executive director of the Environmental Investigation Agency. Illegal logging is extremely widespread. Since illegal wood is cheap, furniture made from such wood is everywhere. The World Bank estimated that wood worth about $15 billion is each year illegally harvested by mafia-like international networks. Usually, it's made into furniture in China and then exported. The logging is not only a threat to the environment, it creates conflict within the countries. Trade in illegal wood is legal. Until now. Last summer, U.S. adopted laws banning trade in illegal wood, yada, yada, yada. It only goes for another paragraph or so. My point is, just this consumerist culture is driving us to economic and biological collapse. Our biosphere is in incredible trouble. And it's partly our fault, if not entirely our fault. I mean, I don't see the dolphins going out and destroying the woods, so I think it's pretty much all our fault. And it's not the everyday person that is doing it so much as it's apathy that is the killer. You know, it's going to Walmart because you can save 10 cents on a pair of mittens or whatever when those mittens were made by people in sweatshops. Instead of going to your local flea market and buying a pair that someone made out of natural organic hemp or whatever, you know, they're doing it in their own house for enjoyment instead of on a 15-hour shift at a sweatshop in Indonesia. So by going to the flea markets, the local flea markets, Goodwills, you're not only helping people in need that live right next to you, you're also helping starving artists because they're the ones that are there doing it. So I'm just going to go into the Goodwill and flea markets and dumpster diving. As I mentioned, I found my television right on my corner. And since I found it, I've seen two or three even bigger televisions on the corner, and people just post, like, on a post-it right on it that says, "Works fine." And they don't want to get rid of it. They don't want to put it in the dumpster, but they're so apathetic, and they're just so convinced that someone else will take care of it, that they just put it on their doorstep, basically, on their sidewalk curb, and just hope that, you know, all the chemicals and everything aren't going to rot away the innards of a landfill. But they do, and they are. So that's where the starving artist outcast, I was going to say, the starving artist can help by, you know, if you don't have a TV and you find one, don't be afraid to, you know, pick it up. So some of the things I've gotten from dumpster diving, it's not even dumpster diving, it's they line up their garbage along the side of the road. It's not even garbage, that's the point. It's a stigma that it's garbage. As soon as someone, you know, 15 seconds before it went on the porch, it wasn't garbage, and it's not garbage after it's been on the sidewalk for 5 minutes. So I've gotten clothes. All my cool clothes are from Goodwill or Salvation Army. It just, like, not only do they have a cool story, they're just from, like, the 80s and stuff. That all my favorite shirts are from there. You can't really escape it. It's and that's how you get a cool look, is by going to Goodwill and Salvation Army. And I'll go into actual places that you can go. There are a couple of favorites that I have in Brooklyn. And there's some in Manhattan, too, that are nice, too. I've gotten my desk that is currently holding everything on it. My laptop and speakers and stuff. I got my couch from dumpster diving, but it wasn't dumpster diving. I'm just using that as a catchy phrase. It was just on the side of the street. And if you're going to get a couch, you're going to want to put it on your porch for a little while, spray it down with insecticide, because you never know. But that's about it. I mean, you don't really need to do too much to it. Just make sure that it's sanitary. You don't want to infest yourself with bed bugs or cockroaches or anything. Just inspect everything thoroughly if it's been on the street. I got my TV there, like I said. Speakers. I got some great speakers that currently play all my records. I got the nightstand that my recording equipment is on right now. We found a vacuum, a giant vacuum, one of those Dyson vacuums. didn't end up working because it didn't have a plug, so we had to get rid of it. But we could have, had I had a little initiative, gone out to the hardware store and actually fixed the plug. But I was too lazy because we already have a vacuum. Found an inflatable mattress that works fine. I got my Lebowski mug, which is just this great mug with two golden bowling pins and a bowling ball above it for $5 at a flea market. This flea market's right in Brooklyn, and I can go into that after I finish this list. I found some art there. I mentioned a couple weeks ago I went to a Goodwill and found this incredible piece of original art. I got it for $25. First time I've ever invested in art. Like actual visual art. Because I don't know. I art in and of itself is a very tough thing to judge. It's really personal taste. And next week, we're going to have an actual visual artist, a painter on. Her name is Leah, hopefully, if I can make sure that she gets here. And then we actually do have some really good guests lined up. There's another, one of my friend's friend is a film director. So that will be hopefully coming up in the coming weeks as well. And other things that I've found are just books, my great coat. I found a pair of $100 hiking boots for $5 at a Goodwill. And in my apartment, as I look around, there isn't really anything that we've bought per se. I mean, our old roommate, when she moved to California, she left a lot of stuff. So you might have to buy a couple things. You might want to go to IKEA. There's an IKEA in Red Hook. They're pretty stylish stuff, but really, do you really need to like get that composite plywood crap that they're doing? I mean, they sell it cheaply because it's made cheaply and it will last for a cheap amount of time. But if you go, keep your eyes peeled, kind of open your vision to the places around you. And like the Goodwills and Salvation Armies, consignment shops, flea markets. Open yourself up, because not only is it a, you know, it's a story, it's a good time. You'll go out with your friends on a Saturday and go to a flea market. There's one out in, by Atlantic Pacific. Go to brooklynfleamarket.com. They're going to be reopening in May, so I can't wait personally. They're incredible. I mean, they have the most incredible record collections there ever. And I found like a lot of Bob Dylan albums just for $5. I think even cheaper than that. I found Pink Floyd Wish You Were Here for $1. $1. And it is in perfect condition. So if you're a record collector, you already know all this stuff, so. And you have the same vibe as I do. And another great thing about these things is if you're buying them for really cheap or you're getting them for free on the side of the road, they become almost like public domain. You feel free to, like, you know, on my desk alone, I just covered it with masking tape because I just wanted to. And then when I pull the masking tape off, or the duct tape, excuse me, when I pull the duct tape off, it pulls off the veneer of cheap wood, and I've been just drawing and just making this cool drawing of me standing at Coney Island. And eventually I want to do the whole thing. So eventually this is going to be a really cool desk that I'm going to want to keep. But even if I don't keep it, say it, I don't know, it explodes or something, I can just throw it in the garbage because, you know, it was free. And it's a very Buddhist way of thinking, but you have non-attachment with love. So I love this desk, but I'm not attached to it. And same goes with everything else that I pretty much have filled this house with, except my instruments. I love those, and I would never get rid of them, even if they did break. As your instruments are an extension of you. So never sell your instruments. Even Even if you're at the point of destitution, just go use them and go busk and make some money. I sold my first guitar. And I'll never get it back. It's really sad. But I felt that the reason, for some reason I felt, oh, I need to get a better guitar. But you'll never get back your first guitar if you sell it. Never. You can get the same model, same make, but you'll never get the same one back. And it's sad. So, so last podcast, I did a song of mine that was kind of, I mean, it was kind of at a dark period in my life. And I guess it's not really a great reflection of where I am at right now. But I do have a song that I recently played live. It's on the EP that is available on iTunes and Amazon. It's called Gutter Child. So I'm going to play that now. And I hope you enjoy. And when we come back, we're going to go into comedy and the interview with Matt Shipman. So this is Gutter Child. I recorded it a couple days ago live. It's only two tracks. So I don't know why I'm playing this one because I have much better... Whatever. It's called Gutter Child. And I like the idea that since we're talking about getting trash in the gutter, you know, it's relevant, so... Here we go. See you on the other side. That was Gutter Child, something that I did a couple days ago. You can get that on Permutations, like I said, and I did kind of orchestrate a little. Took a lot more time on it, and it's got piano and violins and stuff on the EP recording. I'm trying to get the censorship article. But let's go back into comedy, since this is the comedy, and I'm not really being that funny right now, but the comedy aspect of, I don't know, my life. I've always, you know, had two sides of me. One being this wandering minstrel poet, and the other trying to be like just like this funny dude. And I've tried to write up stand-up routines. And, I don't know, they're not that funny, but I thought I would share them. And, this one is, I wrote these a long time ago. it was probably last year, but I don't know. I'll go through this. And it goes into the censorship, because I just swear a lot and kind of make fun of people, but I'm going to do it anyways, just because I don't censor. I don't censor anything on this because I don't believe in censorship. I believe that there are, you know, I was thinking about this last night. There are, you know, what, 5 words, 6 words that are just considered just the most heinous words. Shit, piss, cunt, asshole, dick. I think that's 5, but there are others. But what I realized is all 5 of those words are related to the human body. It's like we're boob. we're making our own bodies evil in this culture, I guess. You know, the worst thing, I guess, there is shit, and that's gross. But a dick, I mean, that's just part of your body. A vagina is just a part of your body. A pussy, it's just a part of your body. It's just a word representing a part of your body that is not evil. It's not bad. And it's just like this screwed up perception of what eventually becomes self-loathing. If you're afraid of these words, you're afraid of your own body. And you know who... it's funny that the most offended of all populations, and I don't want to make a gross generalization, but it's usually the Christian right that is offended by these things. And they're the most sexually repressed people in the world. Well, it just goes... anyone on that far-right conservative, it doesn't really matter what religion you are, but these are the people that are kind of screwing up our world in the first place, so, at least politically. Let me go into this. I guess I'm just going to read this straight out, because I do kind of offend one of my friends in this, but luckily, he's not offended anymore. Because he doesn't have a beard. Okay, let me see here. This one I can kind of say because it's close to heart. Is it just me? Or does part of you want to die every time you ride the subway? I'm pretty sure people act nicer in a war than in subway. Because in a war, at least if you're shot, the other side will, like, pull you off the battlefield, patch you up, and hold you off it. In the subway, it's more like a cage match for the last seat. Wheelchair? Fuck you. You already got a seat. let's see here. Alright, and I kind of get into beer here, and I'm pretty passionate about beer. But I've noticed that all the American beers suck. It's like Americans trying to make beers like a deaf person trying to pronounce supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It just doesn't ever come out right. Ever. And that's not really that funny, because my great-grandmother was deaf, and it was not... I mean, she coped with it, and that's the only thing you can do. But part of stand-up is kind of trying to tear down social constructs, but that's just kind of mean, what I just said. So I'm still working on it. You gotta find a medium between kind of poking fun, but also poking fun at yourself, I guess. Anyways, that's about it for my stand-up. I'm not gonna make it, I don't think, as a stand-up. But, I'm gonna play a guy who does make it as a stand-up. He's probably the most influential stand-up comedian of all time. And that, of course, is Mr. Bill Hicks. And most people don't even know who Mr. Bill Hicks is. Because I don't know, he has a black hole over his name. No one ever... He died right before he actually kind of made it. He had a couple HBO specials in 1994. He had a huge influence on the groups Tool, U2. pretty much every comedian ever has stolen from him. Dennis Leary famously stole a lot of his material for his first HBO special directly from Bill Hicks. And then when approached about that, Bill Hicks said something like to the effect of, "Yeah, he could have at least stolen the punchlines and made it funny." Which I thought was funny, because he just took it with like an air of cool that that was his famous cigarette jaunt about how he was on the airplane. He was pissed off because the airplanes were starting to not allow smokers to smoke. And then it's like, imagine if he was going down and the pilot gets on the thing and he starts saying and he's got like one of those voice boxes and he goes, "If you got him, smoke him. If you got him, we're going down." Not that funny when I say it, but again, it's a you had to be there kind of thing. So I'm gonna play a little of his off Arizona Bay. Just going to play a couple minutes and then go straight into the interview with Matt Chipman, who is a starving artist who's attempting to be a comedian. And he kind of goes into some of the intricacies of that. So this is Bill Hicks.
Everyone, though. Everyone is hawking products. That's like the highest thing you can achieve now, isn't it? Become some barker. Sinatra hawks beer. He doesn't have enough money, does he? No. Nothing's sacred to these fucks, man. I'm waiting to see. It's Jesus for Miller. I was crucified, dead for 3 days, resurrected, and waited 2,000 years to return to Earth. It's Miller time. You know, Jesus, it doesn't get better than this. You don't see the imminent danger, do you? You're staring at me like, "Well, they're just musicians, and they, you know, and they're just doing their thing." And no, they are demons set loose on the earth to lower the standards for the perfect and holy children of God, which is what we are. Make no mistake about it. What's happened to us? After 8 years of Ronald Reagan and yuppies, we live on like the third mall from the sun now, you know? Come on, man. Is it fucking me? Debbie Gibson had the number one album in this country, y'all. Now, if this doesn't make your blood fucking curdle. I mean, who buys that shit, you know? Is there that much babysitting money being passed around right now? Have you seen that little mall creature at work? Shake your love. What love are you shaking, Debbie? You're 12. You got no titties. You look like John Boy, and your music sucks. Go back to the mall that spawned you. This is not a matter of perception. This is not a matter of taste. I can prove this on an Etch-A-Sketch.
All right, I just forgot to mention that not only is he a great comedian, he was also very political. He had a lot of things to say about George Bush the First. And when you listen to some of his albums, it's uncanny how history repeats itself. And what he failed to succeed, George Bush failed to succeed in 91 and 92 when he was invading Iraq. His son ended up succeeding due to the tragedy of 9/11. We all rallied behind our war president and we went to town, or at least our military did. Creating a quagmire that we will not be out of for a while. But anyways, I don't want to get into it. But see, the point is that you can use your position as a artist to try to make social change. Now, whether or not people feel like he did this on a large scale, I mean, I guess he died before he could. But he certainly helped me. He certainly opened my eyes, I mean, to some of the things that I've noticed. I mean, when you listen to Arizona Bay, Ran in E Minor, some of the things that he talks about are just eerie, because it was supposedly happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago now. They were happening again. And just having a guy like that kind of open your eyes is from the grave, you know? I mean, I just got his CDs, and after a while, I kind of gave into it and understood it. So here is my interview with Matt Chipman, and I hope you enjoy. Today we have a special guest in the studio, Mr. Matt Chipman. He is down in the New York City trying to be a comedian, trying to be a writer, right?
Yes.
Introduce yourself. You also attended Purchase College, correct?
That's correct.
You're a dramatic writer,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. I was a dramatic writer, so I can tell you a lot about movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
But
Beat the Geek style.
No one really pays you for that, which is...
Except Beat the Geeks, but that show...
Beat the Geeks. I haven't thought of that show in years.
Years ago, you got paid to be a nerd. Okay, so after being down here for 2 years, right?
Yeah, I've been in the city now for about a year and a half now.
What would you recommend to a comedian who wants to come to New York City? You've done improv,
I would recommend first to, before you make a leap to New York, try it out in your area first, because I'm pretty sure there's...
Yeah, that's true. There's always
going to be some place
scenes
with an open mic somewhere.
So try to hone your skills before you even get here.
Yeah, and make sure you like it first before you make the leap to, like, I'm going to go to New York, and this is...
New York City!
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, you got to have the skills to pay the bills here.
If you want to live from your skills, or make a living from your skills, yes.
I mean, that's what we're down here for, though. And it doesn't happen overnight.
No.
So.
Hell no.
I mean, how long was, what's that guy's name who's on the UCB team, you know?
Bobby?
Bobby. How long has he been at it? How old is he?
He's in his 30s, I believe.
He's in his 30s. So, just to be featured on SNL, and that's not necessarily for, a contract that goes beyond, like, probably one season. I mean, they can pick him up or drop him if they want.
Right.
Just to do that, he's probably been at it for 15, 20 years.
Yeah, he's probably did drama in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's, yeah.
So, speaking of UCB, how exactly do you take the classes? I mean, is there a website you can go to sign up for classes?
Yes, UCBtheater.com. I don't know if I should be...
I'm pretty sure that's it. UCBtheater.com? Yes, yeah, we'll give them a plug. I mean...
Okay.
We love those dudes. They love us because we go to their shows, or at least I do, and pay them their $5 fee. But, I mean, if you are a starting artist and you're kind of at a loss and you're, I don't know. I had a writer's block, I would go to UCB Theater, and it kind of just loosens your gears a little bit. And it's great to see people on doing improv, because it's an incredible art. So you have done improv. You've taken the classes. What would you say about those classes?
Yeah, I first started taking classes because I saw some shows there. They were really funny, and I like their sense of humor, and I'm kind of picky about, like, what I think is funny. And they're just able to do it on the spot, so I wanted to find out, like, what they knew that I didn't. So I took a summer intensive there, where it's two classes a day for 4 days straight. Mm-hmm. And then you get to do, like, a class show on the fifth day.
And how much did that cost when you did it?
Back then it was $325, and I think it still is today. Or $350 for some.
$350 for the whole summer? Or like
no,
eight,
just
4 weeks?
No.
4 days.
Yeah, 4 days.
Holy
two
shit.
Classes a day. Wait, yeah, it's... Okay. Yes, it is expensive, but, I don't know, compared to what I pay, or like what the college cost.
And you went to a SUNY, it's a SUNY school.
A SUNY school.
One of the better SUNY schools for wanting to be a playwright. They have the school of...
A conservatory?
The conservatory.
No, that yeah, fancy
that's the
word.
The conservatory. But, I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, instead of just going to NYU and spending thousands upon thousands of dollars for a private school, they offer an equivalent kind of degree from...
The I know teachers were good there. Like,
Anyway.
Sorry.
So other than the improv...
Oh, wait. Did I even finish my point about how, like, the classes... I mean, yes, it is... it's three... Oh, here's the thing. Take the classes... I guess find out if you like it or not. But, and if you do like it, find people in class that you like. Talk to them. It's
network.
More. It's also like you find connections. You find friends with the class. It's a lot of things.
Yeah, and I mean you'd be
you
setting
get,
up
if you I don't know.
Say like a good thing for someone to do would be to sublet for a summer. You know, maybe before you graduate college, take the class. You're setting yourself up.
And they have like you can take just one class in 1 week in the summer. Oh.
No, I totally hear what you're saying, and I think if you're going to be a comedian, that's a great place to start, because improv skills are just the utmost importance. Even when you're doing stand-up, in case you get heckled, you have to stand your ground. So, let's go into stand-up. You said you've done it a couple times.
Yes.
Which clubs have you done it, and how hard was it to get the gig?
I haven't done it at any clubs. So, and they've all been open mics.
Open
so
mic, okay.
It wasn't
so,
that hard.
Yeah, I mean, that, yeah, but that's a good point. You gotta
at one
find
time, I had to put my name in a bucket and then had to hope that they pulled my name out of a bucket because they only took 15 names.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing to start. I was going to kind of mention that. Because the same goes for music. When you come down to the city, one of the good things to do is to start playing open mics. Trying to get your name out, trying to talk to people who are in a similar situation. You'll make friends, you will make contacts, and you can springboard from there. But, I don't know, what are some of the good stand-up places?
Usually don't go... I've never been anywhere but Upright and some, like, bars that get rented out or some, like, small theaters that get rented out. I haven't done the... I don't like Caroline's or, like, the,
Yeah, I didn't know.
If they had a comic I really, really wanted to see there, I knew he was going to be there that day, maybe I'd shell out, like, the initial $30 to get in and then, like, the two-drink minimum. Which
yeah, the
like two-drink
minimum. I can give a little tip on the two-drink minimum. last time I went to see a comedian, one of my friends was playing there, and it was $5 fee cover and a two-drink minimum. And I was rolling in with, I think, the cover at most. So I went down to Duane Reade's. Pop two buds in my book bag, and when I got down there, I just pulled it out from underneath the table, put it on the table like I had already ordered a drink. The lady did not come by at all, so that's a good way to like kind of F with the system.
All right, I got two things. I got one thing I got to finish because I don't think I finished that thought. Once you get the connections, there's a bunch of people that perform there and just know their shit about improv who also make a little bit of pocket cash by being like an improv coach, and they'll basically teach you what they teach you at Upright too. If you don't want to keep paying class after class
at
Upright, you can form your own team and actually like be a team and develop like I don't know a group mind together or like be able to like play off of each other better. And so that would be my suggestion if you want to do improv.
Yeah, you were mentioning that you kind of set up your own shows.
Yes, good call, because you were talking about the wine and how, I don't know, for me and a lot of people, the drink minimums turn me off from that place. I just don't want to go in there.
It's annoying.
But if you're doing your own shows and you're just starting out too... use drinks to your benefit. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to get people
Definitely.
To keep coming to your show, like, week after week if it's just kind of, like, your show or, like,
you're mm-hmm. a bunch of like.
So make some money on the side is what you're saying.
Not even that. If you really want people to like see your stuff,
free bar.
Do a free bar.
Yeah, which with, like is, tips.
A tip jar or just very very cheap drinks just to mm-hmm. like make your money back on the beer.
Yeah, just go buy a $10, 30 rack.
Yeah,
and you'll of like PBR or something. And you'll make back your money, and people will want to come see your show because
it's not just your show anymore. It's hey,
it's an show excuse to drink
beer,
an excuse to drink on like a Tuesday, basically. can you tell me where you might set up those shows? I mean, does UCB allow you to do that?
No, UCB. If you want to get into, if you got us, and if the if you have your own sketch show and you are not in the New York area, and you have a tape of it, UCB actually will accept new shows. It's called Spank. I don't remember what day is playing on anymore, but go to their website.
If you're in like Rhode Island and you're hearing this, I just went out.
Yeah, here. You're still recording, don't worry about
it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have friends that live in small states, Johnny?
I do, man. I came from a very small town. But it's true. I mean, you can do everything you need to do in New York City at your house. I mean, sending out a demo from Kalamazoo, Michigan is just as easy these days because this thing they called the post office that they invented, a Brooklyn postage stamp, it's not going to make a difference. If you have the goods, they will come. And then you can make your moves from there. Here, just take these.
I don't need them. Never mind.
No, it's all good.
Okay.
Did you break it, chicken?
No, it's fine. No. I got it. Edit part 2. Actually, I like putting these up without editing. I think it's more real that way. And it's less time consuming. So half of it is kind of a doing it yourself, basically. You gotta look for it.
Yeah.
They're not gonna just hand it over. Let's see here. I'm mic 2. Okay, so let's wrap up this interview. Last show I saw you at was called Shits of Our Lives.
Yes.
And that was I think maybe it was even last Friday.
Right? Yes.
And it was a great show. It was ridiculous. And can you tell the audience how you got involved with that and how they might be able to do the same thing if they follow your advice by networking?
Well, first you got to get lucky.
First you got to get lucky. I mean, 99%. Inspiration, 1% perspiration. That didn't make sense.
I guess it would be Chris Gethard. I got to know Gethard through interning at Upright. And I guess it would be...
How do you know Gethard? Isn't that the question?
Can you got this? I'm sorry.
we didn't even introduce... You don't want it. Bridget, you can come say hello.
No, it's okay.
All right. All right. You're going to be on this. Whether you like it or not.
All right,
So yeah. You got the gig just because he called you up, or
no? I called him. Like I had nothing to do. I was just like looking at the schedule for the next month of Upright. I think it was still like December, and I noticed that he had a story, or he had a show up that was a storytelling show of just poop stories, and I have a ridiculous amount of poop stories in my life. And
who doesn't?
I think I just... This is going to sound... Oh, fuck it. I just Facebooked friend him. And so I could have emailed. I had his email too, but...
Facebook is a good networking situation.
I hate it, but...
I'm not saying that it's necessarily good for us.
But, you know, it got me...
As a society.
It got me in a really awesome show.
Because, you know what? One thing it allows you to do? It allows you to kind of, like... shield your emotions, and you can just kind of like say things that you wanted to say.
Yeah, no, dude, I was scared typing it. Like, I was just like, oh, fuck it, I don't want to like, I don't know, because I'm not really.
Just don't do it drunk to a girl that you like, or
Facebook drunk.
Facebook texting, same thing, but that's a totally different situation. So, I guess, do you have any final words of wisdom?
Wait, what were we just talking about?
Chris Gethard.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Words of wisdom? Wait, for who?
For our audience. Anyone that wants to come down
knows
on a hope and a fucking dream. Because they want to make it.
If you like doing it, there's a pretty good scene here. You won't get famous from it, but I don't know.
You'll have a good time.
It's a rush performance.
That is one of my main philosophies. I can't give anyone talent. I don't even know if I have talent myself. But if you feel it in your heart that you belong here,
we're not even belong here. If you just like doing it, this is
And you know what? You're going to lead a lot more interesting life if you do that instead of stay at your own hometown and work at the local Price Chopper warehouse, unloading pallets of green beans. Your life is just going to be better. Just come down and rock and roll.
Yeah.
All right, so this concludes our enlightening and wonderful conversation with Matt Chipman. And on any given night, you may or may not see him at Upright Citizens Brigade. All right, let's big it up for Matt Chipman. All right. We will come back with probably something awesome, so stay with us. And Matt Chipman wanted to hear Sweet Home Alabama, so we're going to put that on there for you. All right. See you in the Alright, so we don't have enough time to get to the essay on censorship, but what I will do is put up a mini podcast midweek that goes over my ideas on the current state of the music industry, where I think it's going, and my essay on censorship. So that'll come out on Wednesday. I'd like to thank Matt Chipman for joining me in the studio today, and just thanks to everyone who's helped out so far. This has been a great opportunity to get people who might not normally get their voices heard out there. So, with that said, we're going to end it with Back For You by Jurassic 5. All right, see you next time.
Check this out, real quick. I don't know if everybody know us personally as individuals, so what I want to do right now is I want to take this time out just to introduce everybody. So let me just introduce everybody. I need from the people up top, from the people on the bottom, and the people in the back on both sides to give it up when I say
the music is the soul.
So what I want to do right now is I just want to go back a little bit with y'all. Check this out.
Yo, dressed in a digital scarf, sitting in the bar. The words that I used to be all people applaud. Now watch how the brother adapt, fill in the gaps. Perhaps I play the block until the curb collapse. Now check the method and put the message on record. Promote the effort and change the neighborhood preference. And keep them guessing from the old to the adolescent. It's J5 and it ain't no half step.
The wordplay we display can only convey the vibe when they DJ. Colonial repertoire from the NPC. Feel sorry for those who bystand innocently, but innocently divides man's courage in half. I murdered my staff, demolished every nerd in my path. The verbal to rap will tower over new day job. We do play live, ask the people who they thrive, the crew J5.
We vibe right into the night, words that we write will calm down the serious sight. Come to the light, the wordplay we display. Kept us moving from Tokyo to LA. Catch the feeling as we move on, follow the groove, it steadily soothes. Got you all coming in too. Follow the crew, no mean thing, cause we tied like shoestrings. When we sing, you hear buzz like these things.
Thank you. This is a very historical moment for us as Jurassic 5, man, for real, man. I feel like, we have some serious support out there.
When we play, you walk this way. We walk in faith, I hope you're feeling great. We came here tonight just to celebrate. Put your hands up high, you know we're rocking the place. If you came here to hate, you came way too late. Jurassic MCs came to set shit straight. Originality, check the way we originate. Style and communicate, check the way we demonstrate.
Countdown, 3, 2, 1, some rappers will speak the real and I can see through some. I focus my sound, I'm never selling surplus pounds. I'm looking to smash and drown, no you circus clowns. You try to diss and get your limbs crushed like ants' eggs. From my fate to where my Tim's touch my pants legs. We indestructible, crush these magnificent kings. Be overlooked by overlooking insignificant things. That bullshit that you bring.
Back for you, so you know we bring this back for you, so you know we bring this back for you, so you know.